Microsoft's chief environmental officer on the company's billion-dollar investment in carbon removal tech. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. A lot of tech companies have pledged that their operations are or will become carbon neutral. But this week, Microsoft announced plans to become carbon negative in the next 10 years. That means it will invest $1 billion in technologies to remove carbon from the atmosphere, in addition to using more renewable energy or offsetting the emissions it creates. In fact, Microsoft announced that by 2050, it wants to remove the equivalent of all the carbon that the company has ever emitted in its 44-year existence. IKEA is the only other major company that's made a similar promise. And let's be honest, it sounds expensive. Lucas Jopa is chief environmental officer at Microsoft. And I asked him if this investment could hurt the business.
I don't think that this will ultimately set us back as a business. I actually think that companies that do good do well. We're making investments, of course, because we believe the best available science says that we must, but also because of incredible customer demand all around the world for digital solutions to help them better understand, monitor, and optimize for their own carbon footprints. We're aware, though, that not every company has the resources that Microsoft does. Not every company is able to invest in the ways that we are. And that's why we're also including in our commitments work to help lower the cost curve for others who might want to follow down this same path.
Yeah, let's talk about the investment part of this. You've pledged to invest $1 billion and also to sort of pivot efforts in the direction of removing carbon and technologies that can create resilience and sustainability, but also literally remove carbon. And I wonder what some of those technologies are. Have you identified investment opportunities already?
Well, I think first and foremost, evolution has already provided some of the most powerful removal technologies of all through processes like photosynthesis. So some of the work will be in what's called nature-based solutions through afforestation, reforestation, soil carbon sequestration, but also we'll be looking at negative emission technologies like direct air capture, carbon capture and storage, bioenergy. And what we're really motivated to do is to ensure that the capital that we put out is as additional as possible.
Is it a venture fund? Like, are you expecting to get financial returns in addition to technologies that you can use?
We don't expect to. That is not a requirement of the fund. We would never turn that down, I'm sure. But we also don't expect to lose money.
How do we, you know, so many companies are announcing sustainability initiatives and carbon neutral initiatives, and it's getting hard to parse who is doing what, you know, like how do we know either in the business community or as consumers that this isn't greenwashing?
I think it requires a lot of work on the side of corporations to be as transparent and as literal as possible. So there's a reason that we're using the term carbon negative, because what we are saying is we are going to go below net zero. I think the best we can do is just to be clear-eyed and cold-hearted accountants, and that we shouldn't avoid the fact that carbon math requires some math. And we're all going to have to start to better understand it if we're going to be able to understand and parse through different corporate commitments.
Let's also talk about incentives. Is this becoming a move like this on some level for every business? You know, we've seen institutional investor BlackRock say it's going to require its companies to have sustainability plans. JetBlue is going carbon neutral and citing flight shaming as part of the reason. I wonder if some of this is becoming a business imperative, whether it's to get ahead of regulation or even public sentiment.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's surprising that businesses can operate today without meaningful and credible sustainability plans. And I do not think there's a significant future where businesses will be able to succeed without having plans and being able to show meaningful progress. I think the BlackRock letter was a nice example, but that's just one of an incredible number of market signals that are being sent from both consumers, customers, regulators, employees, and more.
In the blog post announcing this, you said climate needs to become the world's next moonshot. The tech industry, that's a phrase that has bounced around the tech industry, but also it's an industry that has promised to solve big problems. Should the rest of the industry be following this example?
I think the rest of the industry needs to do what everybody needs to do, which is to look at climate and sustainability as what it is, which is the largest issue, the largest, most complex challenge that our species has ever faced, and to be motivated by that, and then to look at that issue and the potential solutions through the lens of each organization's core corporate competency. If you're a technology company, I believe that you should be bringing technology solutions to the market. That does not mean that technology solutions are the silver bullet. It just means that whatever you as an organization are good at, that's what you need to be bringing. We need everybody to be bringing their expertise to this party. And the urgency has never been greater.
And then how about hiring? In your blog post, you cite not just consumer demand, but also employee demand. Is this also a way, does this have the added benefit of helping you attract and retain talent for whom this is a big concern?
Most definitely. I mean, when you look at any poll and the demographic that will be entering the workforce, you know, today and the next 5 to 10 years moving forward, this is the number one issue they care about. And if you're a technology company like Microsoft is, then you're probably motivated by solving big problems with scalable solutions. And if that's your MO, then you've got to have climate and sustainability squarely within your focus. And your employees, the more that you do that, the more and the better the employee base that you're going to be able to bring in. It's just going to be an expectation, and rightfully so.
And then finally, just from a business perspective, you know, we've seen Microsoft employees already sort of ask the company not to do business to help, let's say, improve the efficiency of oil and gas companies. Microsoft has a 7-year deal with Chevron. Is there some possibility that, you know, the aggressiveness in this arena will make for some awkward dance partners?
I don't know about awkward. I think that these are conversations that need to be had, and we're committing as part of our overall announcement to include conversations about and partnerships on sustainability and carbon reduction removal with all of our enterprise customers and major suppliers, market sector independent. I think that if you take a scientific or a scientist view of the problem, you leave a lot of the passion and politics out of it, and you just focus on the job that needs to get done. And if you believe, like we do, that this problem is one that's going to require solutions from everybody, from every organization, then it would seem strange to be turning your back on any particular sector or customer. That said, you know, of course, these conversations aren't always easy, aren't always straightforward. But I think that as long as you just focus on the problem at hand that needs to be solved, you know, we've always appreciated a partnership model at Microsoft, and I don't see that changing going forward with any of our existing or future customers.
Lucas Jopa is the Chief Environmental Officer at Microsoft. And now for some related links. Now, this week's announcement really is significant, according to the experts we spoke to on Background about the move. But here's a little more on the strange dance partners problem. Microsoft employees have protested, like I said, the company's work with oil and gas companies, but also the fact that Microsoft has occasionally donated money to politicians who deny climate change. There's more reading on that awkward situation on our website, marketplacetech.org. And Microsoft's announcement is probably only going to increase scrutiny of Amazon, which has been slow to jump on the renewable bandwagon until recently. And earlier this month, a group called Amazon Employees for Climate Justice said the company was trying to suppress their public efforts and even retaliate against them when they tried to hold the company accountable on climate issues. In our coverage this fall on climate adaptation and big tech's role in helping address the problem, we detailed what the major companies in the Valley are doing around renewable energy and sustainability. You can find that story and their answers and the whole series at marketplace.org/climate. And before we go, a little related audio, related to Facebook, actually. In case you missed it, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi may have been busy with impeachment, but she got a question about Facebook in her weekly press conference on Thursday, and she was ready for it. As the San Francisco Chronicle put it, she went scorched earth on the company. Have a listen.
I think that they're different. The Facebook business model is strictly to make money. They don't care about the impact on children. They don't care about truth. They don't care about where this is all coming from. And they have said, even if they know it's not true, they will print it. I think that they have been very abusive of the great opportunity that technology has given them. My thought about them is they don't want, all they want are their tax cuts and no antitrust action against them. And they schmooze this administration in that regard because so far that's what they have received. But I think that what they have said very blatantly, very clearly, that they intend to be accomplices for misleading the American people with money from God knows where. They didn't even check on the money from Russia in the last election. They never even thought they should. So they have been very irresponsible. And again, as you say, these are people that we've known and worked with over time. Actually, Facebook's down the peninsula, but they do have an office in my district. And I think their behavior is shameful.
That is shots fired from a lady with investigative powers. Just saying. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Our assistant producer is Jesus Alvarado. Jody Becker is our senior producer. Robin Edgar is our engineer. And I'm Molly Wood. That's Marketplace Tech. Have a great weekend. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.